This is a public service announcement sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho. H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you could call me CEO of the R-O-C-O. Fresh out the frying pan.
Welcome into another edition of the Naked Bootleg Podcast, presented by the Boston Herald, I should say. I'm here with Adam Kirchin, who is recovering from a wedding. I am recovering from an overnight shift once again. Yeah. Adam, how is it going, man?
I think, you know, when there's good things like a wedding on the weekend and you know, not so much good things like working a late shift, you just fight through it the next day, and we're just going right through to more Pat stuff. We got availability today. Bill Belichick is talking at 2:30, and then players, the locker room opens at 4 approximately, which means it could be 5 or 6, you know, depending on how things have gone in the past. But I'll be doing that, and just a great weekend. Obviously got watched my sister-in-law get married, and so we're fired up and ready to talk some more Pats.
Absolutely, yeah. I've been like fighting with weddings for your attention this
year. I know, yeah.
It's like every other weekend, it's like, I can do it, but I got this wedding. I'm like, oh, man.
Right. But we make the time.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it was, I got home last night late, and then I was like, oh, I got to watch Game of Thrones.
Right.
So I was up another hour watching Game of Thrones before you know it. It's, it's late.
We all have our priorities in
life. Yeah, exactly. Woke up this morning, Adam, and news that I'm sure Patriots Nation won't be surprised about, but will be. I'm sure there'll be a few upset people about Roger Goodell's 5-year extension. Just quickly wanted to ask you your thoughts on that.
I think, I don't think he's a good commissioner. I feel like a lot of the things he's done in terms of his penalties have been inconsistent, and I feel like that's a real problem when you're a commissioner, because when you have so many different owners that you're working for, you want to have some level of consistency. Not just with Deflategate, but with domestic violence issues and stuff like that, he's been really inconsistent with his penalties and stuff like that. So you want to find somebody who can really, find a way to, set a standard that people can rely on, and he's just not been that guy, and it's a little strange, because you would think the owners would, be aware of this more. I guess, if they like him, they like him. And he's really, they're really the ones he answers to. So,
yeah, I guess from an owner's perspective, the league is making more money than it ever has, right? These TV deals are making them oodles of cash. They're pulling in billions of dollars a year, collectively. So you can't really get too upset with Goodell as an owner in terms of, finances, the money that he's raking in. Obviously, the league is as successful now as it ever has been. But, at the same time, it does show a little bit of nearsightedness in terms of what the image of the league is overall, and the image is long-term with Goodell at the helm. With this Ezekiel Elliott thing, obviously he felt that he didn't go strong enough against those, like Ray Rice or Adrian Peterson or what have you. And he has gone the total opposite direction here with Zeke, and has suspended him for 6 games for an alleged incident that, you know, we're not going to comment too much on, but, you know, the police didn't see that it was, you know, necessary to present any charges or anything like that, or arrest Elliott or anything. And now the NFL comes in and they deem that they have all this extra evidence that they believe that there is no doubt in their mind that he did what he's being accused of, you know, whether he did or didn't. The point is that Goodell has made a statement with two very, very prominent players in his game, and Tom Brady and Ezekiel Elliott, now for very different reasons.
Right.
And it's just interesting to see that he is so sure in his job security, and now we know for a fact that so sure in his job security means an extension, that he is going to go out and suspend anyone. Which is, you know, probably with the power the commissioner should feel that, you know, he has, that no one's, you know, above the law, no matter what your status is as a Hall of Famer or a young star like Zeke or whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, there's some good and there's some bad, obviously, from a Patriots fan's perspective. You know, we have the whole Deflategate thing is going to always stick with us with Goodell. But I, you know, very encourage Patriots fans to move on from it, to be honest. Yeah.
It's not like you can really do anything about it if you're a Patriots fan. And, you know, the Patriots were able to win the Super Bowl despite all of the Deflategate stuff. And, you know, at the end of the day, you just sort of move on. And there's not much, you know. I can understand why Patriots fans are upset, you know, obviously. But he's the commissioner. You deal with him from now on.
Yeah.
I obviously think that he and Kraft have patched things up to a certain extent, you know, and that's basically kind of what you want, is your owner to have a good relationship with the commissioner.
Right.
And like, but going back to Elliott, you know, I have no problems with the league going by their own investigations and stuff like that. As has been discussed before, that, a lot of times a witness in a case like this won't want to go forward in pressing charges or something like that for fear of personal safety and stuff like that. So that's fine. I'd just like to see consistency. You know, if he's going to get six games, everybody who does this should get six games. You know, and that hasn't been the case. That you really want to see something along the lines of just the same for everybody. And it feels like sometimes, especially in the case of Deflategate, he wanted to make an example. Obviously, two different things, but I felt like he wanted to make an example of Brady, you know, because it just felt like, you know, if it was sort of a lower profile person, you just got the sense that it might have been a fine or or, you know, one game or two games. But, you know, so there is a matter of optics with Goodell you see sometimes where, you know, there's a higher profile player or something like that where he's going to sort of make an example, you know.
That's exactly what he's doing with Zeke. I mean,
yeah,
he knows that he went too easy on Ray Rice. Greg Hardy got off with just four games, I think, once they reduced that suspension in court. So, you know, a lot of these cases are that exact same way. And at the end of the day, the gripe that Patriots fans will always have with Goodell is that, you know, the domestic abuse that Zeke Elliott allegedly did or did not, you know, partake in, got two games more than Tom Brady did for deflating a football, allegedly.
Right.
You know, Greg Hardy got the same amount of games for literally beating his wife or girlfriend at the time. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Physically violent.
Yeah.
Greg Hardy.
Intimidating her into, you know.
Right. So there definitely needs to be a reevaluation of what's more important in the league office, you know, deflating footballs or, you know, domestic violence, which is obviously a zero tolerance in both of our books. So, you know, it's disappointing to see that that's the same. But all right, let's move on and get into the crux of today's show. We're going to discuss the ongoing issue that is the Patriots' edge position. So outside linebacker, potentially defensive end in another scheme, depending on what you want to call it. But basically the guys on the outside that are going to be rushing the passer, obviously Derek Rivers out with the torn ACL for the entire season, which is a huge blow. I think even though he was just a rookie, I was expecting him to at least situationally show up in you know, pass rush situations, kind of like what Chris Long did for the team last year. Not going to be there. Rob Ninkovich obviously retired before the season. So what we're looking at right now is a starting, you know, edge position where we got Trey Flowers, Tony Ealy, Geno Grissom, Deidre Wise still healthy, and then maybe the linebackers McClellan or Dante Hightower dropping down and playing a little bit of edge also. We're both, you know, a little bit worried about this, I think. I think all Patriots Nation's a little bit worried, but let's do our best to put some, you know, water on the fire here.
Well, I mean, here's the thing that we were discussing earlier is that with the amount of fronts that the Patriots have shown so far and the, I don't know if cross training is the right word for it, but, like, you know, they move these guys around a lot. You've seen, I saw, you know, Van Noy on the edge a little bit. You know, Longy's there. They gave him a lot of looks there. You know, when McClellan comes back, he can drop down there. And then there's various fronts, you know, I mean, in a four-man front, you'll see Lawrence Guy at defensive end at some points, and Lawrence has had a great, great preseason. He's probably, I don't know if he was their best defensive lineman the other night, but if not, then close to it. So they can generate pressure a number of ways. Obviously, you still haven't seen Trey Flowers, and when he gets out there, he's, in my opinion, you know, obviously we'll, with Hightower, those are their probably two best pass rushers, and we haven't seen either one of those guys yet. So, you know, the concern over the edge right now is mostly a depth concern, but that is not something you can just sort of toss aside, because you don't just want a couple guys who can get to the passer. You want a rotation. You know, in a over a course of a football game, you don't want the same couple guys on the field every play. But I think what you're seeing right now, a lot of when you watch these preseason games, it's mixing and matching, seeing what guys can do, seeing how many roles they can handle, and they're sort of just evaluating who can go where, what they can do, and that process is ongoing. So we won't know until the season starts what, you know, what works best, and it might not even really reveal itself until a few games in what works best. I mean, and like, look, we keep going back to last year with this question. The first half of the season, they really didn't get to the quarterback well at all. And overall, they were sort of middle of the pack. But in the second half of the year, after they sort of figured things out a little bit, their pass rush was good enough. You know, it wasn't, you know, elite or anything like that. But, you know, look at in the Super Bowl again, two biggest plays, you know, Hightower's sack and fumble, and then Flowers with the sack to kick him out of field goal range. They had the pass rush that was good enough. It's just something that might be an ongoing thing as you go on here.
Yeah, you know, I think that last year the breakout in the pass rush really coincided with Trey Flowers' breakout, you know, right. Which is great. And I think that one thing that we watched from these two preseason games, I tweeted it out after the game, was that they, you know, the pass rush has been a problem in the last two preseason games, take it or leave it for whatever you want, with it being, you know, a meaningless game. But really the biggest thing is that you have to remember that, you know, Trey Flowers, who is 100% healthy, it sounds like, and just is getting the little bubble wrap treatment for these games, and Dante Hightower are not currently out there right now. They're going to be out there, you would expect, maybe not Hightower week one, but they're going to be out there for the majority of the season. So that's one thing that you have to look at. But the other thing is what you mentioned that I wanted to touch on some more was that, you know, they don't have the depth. Last year, they had a lot of bodies. They had guys that they could throw out there. And I'm not saying that any of them were, you know, Lawrence Taylor. But, you know, they had options. They had Chris Long. They had Jabal Sheard. They had Rob Ninkovich. They had Trey Flowers. They had Dante Hightower. These are veteran players, you know, that have been around a little while and kind of understand the Patriot system. Now, you know, when you look at the depth there is what we saw against Houston, which is Harvey Lange, Cody Ealy. Deidre Wise obviously didn't play in that game, but he's one of those depth guys, you know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, really what to me is that the issue is what you touched on, is that they don't have a rotation right now, and they're going to rely really heavily on Flowers and Hightower, especially Flowers, I think, because Hightower is going to play some stand-up linebacker still,
right,
I would assume. But with Flowers, I mean, they're going to really expect Flowers to be a 12, you know, 10, 12 at least sack guy this year.
Yeah.
And that is a lot to expect. I know that he, you know, had close to that in basically breaking out in the last 8 or 9 games of the season last year. So maybe it is possible, but also at the same time, I'm not really sure if he's a natural sack machine either. You know, he's kind of a guy that kind of is versatile, can kick inside a little bit and rush there. You saw him do that in the Super Bowl, and kind of just be a menace on the defensive line. And he's, you know, not so much the bend around the edge, you know, pass rusher that, you know, the prototypical pass rusher.
Right.
And I think that to ask for him to go out there and have like a Chandler Jones type season, so to speak, hopefully a little bit more well-rounded than that, is still a lot to ask in terms of just pure production, pure statistical output.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Now, Harvey Lange got every single opportunity to fill in that Rob Ninkovich role against Houston. They played him pretty much the entire 2.5 quarters of the entire game. I think the first snap that he missed was in the third quarter.
Right.
Defensively, he played a lot of snaps. So they tried to give him as long of a look there as he could, and he showed some things. I mean, he showed that he had some athleticism, some strength. I thought he had a pretty good job.
He's got some real pop in his arms.
Yeah, some good job bull rushing, pushing the pocket, stuff like that. But he also made some rookie mistakes, some penalties, you know, stuff like that as well. So, you know, it comes and goes. Now, if Harvey Lange is, you know, a guy that's just part, a depth guy that's part of a bigger rotation, then obviously it's not that big of a deal. But if they're expecting Harvey Lange to play any serious snaps as a rookie, then we're in a little bit of uncharted territory there. Patriots, the last couple of years, have had a lot of veteran guys that they have either signed for, you know, a Chris Long situation where they sign a guy just for a 1-year deal to bring him in or what have you, to add depth to that spot. And they just don't really seem to have it right now, I don't think.
Yeah, like I said, you know, they can do so many different things. I just was sort of tweeting out a few minutes ago. They came out in one front with the same personnel, and then the second play on a, I believe the Texans didn't even huddle, you know, they switched into basically a 3-4 with the same personnel, whereas the first play was sort of a it was a 4-man front, and like so, there's a lot of, you know, just mixing and matching and teaching that's going on right now, but you don't always necessarily you know, as we both know, you don't necessarily need to get your pass rush from the edge. But here's the thing, and you know, you know, they're not the be all and end all in terms of effectiveness for your defense. But you know, if you we saw at the beginning of last season when there wasn't much of a pass rush, and it was against a lot of teams that weren't really all that great. As good as the secondary is going to be this year, you know, barring injuries, you know, you give a quarterback that much time, you know, it's a losing proposition. I don't care how good your corners and safeties are, linebackers, whatever.
Right. I mean, any NFL quarterback with time and a clean pocket should beat you.
I mean, they didn't get lit up this game, and obviously they probably would have won if Brady was playing, but I don't know how much you remember the Bills game last year, but Tyrod, they kept him in the pocket. But it was all day, you know, he just sort of had time and picked them apart from the pocket. And that's Tyrod Taylor, who I like, obviously, but is not some of the quarterbacks they'll be facing this year, you know, like
much better schedule this year.
Like Derek Carr, like, you know, like a
Matt Ryan, Cam, Drew Brees.
Exactly. So you can't really mess around with those guys, especially with some of the weapons they have on the outside. You know, you're going to need more than just good coverage. You're going to need a pass rush. So, but I feel like they'll be able to generate it in certain instances. It's just a matter of depth and sort of figuring things out. And, you know, like I said, that picture is not clear right now. And that's the only thing you can really only be worried about is, you know, who are those third and fourth guys on the edge? Do the Pats have an idea right now of, you know, what works best in from different formations and everything like that? Do they feel like, okay, you know, are we going to have Lawrence Guy out there more because he's shown so well in the pass rush? You know, is somebody like Dietrich, when he comes back from his concussion, is he going to be out there on pass rushing downs, or is he you know, is he going to line up on the edge, or is he going to just be sort of like a three technique? You know, there's so many options, but a lot of them are so new, like you said, new to the system, that it just makes for a lot of unknowns, you know? Right. I mean, just like, as you said, comparing to last year, I mean, you know, there was a lot more known quantities on the roster at this time. You know, Sheard was back, and he had, you know, Flowers was more of an unknown, but you had Ninkovich, who was like an anchor.
Right.
And you sort of knew what you were going to get from Chris Long.
Right.
Right now, I mean, look at Longy. I mean, he's a rookie, learning. You're still sort of figuring out what you're trying to get from Coney Ealy. So it's just so much unsettled stuff with these positions,
right?
And it's just really a matter of knowing what you have, when you're going to have it. But luckily, I mean, obviously, the season's still, you know, a few weeks away. But.
Right, they got some time. I mean, I think that for a minute, just dive into the X's and O's here of their two fronts. So basically, the Patriots like to run either a 4-2. Or a 3-3 bear front, and both of them are more or less the same with a few little wrinkles thrown in depending on which way they're going. So ideally, I think that if they're going to play the 3-3, I think that they're okay because they can play Flowers at a defensive end spot, they'll play Alan Branch in the middle of it, and then they'll most likely play Larry Guy at the other defensive end spot as a big, basically in a 3-4, a big, you know, 3-4 defensive end, which is something that they're usually accustomed to anyways. And then they also have depth there, you know, if they go the 3-4, the 3-3 technically with Patrick Chung in the game, if they go there this way, you know, now they have bigger guys that they could use as a defensive end and kind of rotate it that way. If they really wanted to, they could throw Malcolm Brown out there. They could throw Dietrich Wise out there. That's an option. And then obviously you'd have Hightower, I would think, playing on the edge, play either as a strong side linebacker or, you know, literally on the edge. So I think that both of those are really good options. When they go to the 4-2, you can still put Flowers, obviously, at the right defensive end spot. The issue is, you know, what do you do on the other side? Now, I think that we've talked about Hightower playing that spot. I think that they want Lange to play a little bit of that spot if they can. I don't think that he's ready to do it, but maybe they do. But mainly, they can always go with a little bit of a bigger front, which wouldn't be such a bad thing. I mean, they probably stop the run pretty well. They could get exotic a little bit with blitzing and stuff like that with their linebackers to kind of get more of a pass rush, and then obviously rely on Trey Flowers to be a pass rush threat. A guy like Alan Branch, you know, he's not obviously a around the edge guy, but he moves the pocket pretty well. You know, he's a pretty good pass rusher, to be honest. Larry Guy, obviously, we've talked about how he can be a decent pass rusher too. They're going to push the pocket. I have no doubt that they're going to be able to push the pocket. Really, the what it will come down to is if they'll be able to finish. Will they be able to finish and get the quarterback on the ground? Will they be able to finish and hit the quarterback? You know, I don't know if right now with the guys that they have too many guys that can finish, but they'll be able to have enough guys that will create chaos. Which is more or less what Bill Belichick wants to do in a pass rush. More often than not, you know, he kind of coaches it up, and the defense, Patricia and those guys kind of coach it up to create, you know, planned chaos within the pocket.
Right.
Push everybody around, you know, keep the quarterback contained is a big thing. Every single NFL quarterback, whether he's fast or not fast, is extremely dangerous outside the pocket because it becomes difficult for the quarterbacks or the defensive backs to stay covered on their mans when the guy starts moving outside the pocket. And, it, you know, things kind of break down and it turns into more of like a schoolyard, you know, type play. Whereas when you keep a guy in the pocket, then they have to play within the scheme.
Right.
That's more difficult to do for most quarterbacks. Now, obviously, if we're talking about a Matt Ryan, then he can beat you from anywhere. But if we're talking about a Tyrod Taylor, if we're talking about a Jay Cutler, the quarterbacks that they're going to see, Josh McCown, the guys that they're going to see in division, that was atrocious, the names I just rattled off, by the way. But besides the point, those are the guys that you want to keep contained. Especially a guy like Tyrod, you want to keep him in the pocket and make him elevate the scheme, make him beat you by making plays, by making big-time throws from within the pocket. They'll be able to do that. I have no doubt there. But finishing is another story, and we wanted to throw out some free agent names that are available on the market. And I think that, you know, both of us agree that it's not a pressing need for them to go out and sign somebody, but I think after the Derek Rivers injury, you know, they could use another body. So the three names that I wrote down either have Patriots ties or just big names. The first one, I'll save the best for last. So the first one is Mario Williams, who is a free agent. I'm not sure if he's really interested in playing football at the moment. But he is out there. He's, you know, had a few disappointing seasons the last couple of years. Definitely not the same guy, obviously, but, you know, a veteran that would be able to come in and know what he was doing and hold his own.
Right. Here's how I think with any of these guys. It would be sort of a nice stopgap solution, and you want to kick the tires, I guess. But at the same time, you want some of these younger guys who you know are going to be in the system to get as many reps as possible. Now, if you have a feeling that somebody is not going to be on the team or whatever. But like, you know, but if I'm looking at somebody like Harvey Longy, I'm saying, look, I want to see as much of this guy as possible as they did the other night. And you know, if I bring in somebody, sure, you know, it could help, but, you know, if I'm the Patriots, I want to see what I have with some of these younger guys. Not to backtrack a little bit, but going back to what we were talking about earlier with the versatility and guys like that, another guy who I think has been so good when it comes to moving around and doing different things this preseason is Van Noy. He's had his ups and downs. Obviously, he had the roughing the passer penalty, but
that was a weak penalty.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I mean, he's lined up on the edge. He's been in the middle. I saw one of the plays. He was right there with the running back in on a passing play. So
we've underrated Van Noy, I think, a little bit as media.
But I think, like, he's had a really good preseason. He's done a lot of different things.
Yeah. He's a guy that I think that they were counting on and they're still counting on to play a lot more than maybe the media as a whole has made it sound. And I think that they think that he's going to be extremely productive.
Right.
Because he can do a little bit of everything, which is, you know, the Patriots love out of their linebackers. And he can cover. And that's a big one. The next one here has a lot more Patriots ties. I believe they kicked the tires on him back in March during the free agency window. Jared Odrick, who is another guy that is more of a pocket pusher. He's not, you know, going to scream off the edge or anything like that. But another veteran that can kind of play multiple roles on the front and move him around a little bit, kick him inside, kick him outside. I think the Patriots like Odrick, always have down in Jacksonville. He's getting a little bit long in the tooth and they kind of already kicked the tires on him in past, it sounds like, but right. Maybe they'll revisit it now that there's been some injuries in a retirement.
Yeah. Like you said, if the Patriots like a guy and they've seen him before, and we know how much Belichick will you know not hesitate to bring a guy in to see if he still likes him as much, and so we can see something like this happening, but like I said, I think they really want to see what they have in terms of what they've already got internally. But as we've, you know, gone on here, this Rivers injury, it complicates things, but it's part of the it's we're in evaluation mode here. The Patriots are there's so much they need to know about the guys that are already on the roster. So it's really weighing the fact that, okay, how much can somebody new help the team versus how much do we out of these guys that are already on the team, what can they do? You know, where can they fit in? How much can they teach them? So it's pretty inconvenient for them right now the way things have gone. And you hope somebody like Rivers can get healthy and this doesn't affect him too much down the line. But it really is too bad that a guy with that much potential, because I still think, even though he wasn't really, a practice standout or anything like that, he was going to, you know, be on the field this year. So
right, with Rivers, I think that the first couple weeks of the preseason and maybe even the first couple weeks of the regular season were always going to be a learning curve for him coming up from the FCS, a big jump up from the FCS to the NFL. So I was mainly looking to see how much could he absorb in this first, you know, training camp of his career. and not necessarily looking to see, you know, what kind of production he had or if he was flashing in practice or, you know, anything like that, but mainly just, you know, did he look like he knew what he was doing out there? Could he, you know, take in a lot of information and kind of get up to speed with the NFL speed and stuff like that? All right, last name, then I know you got to go. The last name here, Dwight Freeney. It's a big one that a lot of people are kicking around. After the Super Bowl last year, we saw him wreak havoc against the Patriots, have one of the better games of the last couple of years for him against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Dwight Freeney, I like a lot, mainly because he kind of fits that Chris Long role of, right, I'm going to come in on third down and rush the passer.
Yeah.
That's all they're going to need from him. You know, obviously he's older now and isn't going to play a ton of snaps for you anymore at this stage of his career, but they almost wouldn't need him to, and they could use him very situationally and put him on a pitch count and just let him rush the passer when he gets in there.
Yeah. You know, you wonder sometimes, guys of a certain age, how much they would still want to, you know, want to be out there. And that's something that, like, when you bring in a guy who's been around for so long, they'll figure that out. You know, I feel like Freeney, yeah, in that role, could still do that. I feel though, again, it sort of comes back to, you know, if you have Freeney on the roster, who's coming off, you know?
I think, like, would you rather have Freeney, who could probably come in here and give you 5 to 8 sacks or something like that for the season, or would you rather have Geno Grissom?
Right. Right.
That's really the option right there.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I know that it's almost become so old at this point when it comes to special teams. You know, you won't get that from Freeney, but you'll get that from Grissom. But then again, I mean, you really haven't seen anything from Grissom on the defensive side of the ball. You're going to need at some point to see something from that aspect of Grissom's game to justify his roster spot.
Right.
And really, it just in terms of the playing time too. I mean, was he even up front and center the other night? I don't think so.
No.
And again, we've talked about this with the certain other things, but we're sort of discussing sort of backup plans, you know. We're discussing things that are sort of, you know, depth concerns and that sort of thing.
Right.
And I guess to sort of wrap up the whole theme of today's discussion is, you know, this is a question not just of personnel, but of scheme and where the guys they have are going to end up fitting well, say, in that 3-3 front, in that 4-2. Guys who can be on the field for both when another team is going hurry up. How much flexibility will certain guys give Matt Patricia when they're going up against a good offense that's going fast? And that isn't just, like you said, it's not just how good they are physically, it's how good they are mentally to pick up all the different schemes. And that's a big concern because you've got so many new guys. You know, you look at a guy like Longy, he's a rookie, he's a undrafted free agent, you know? As we go forward these next few weeks and into the regular season, it's a matter of the Patriots figuring out who can do as much as they can, you know, and how good they can do it and what they can allow Patricia to do.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, you can have the best defensive scheme on the planet. You can have the best pass rusher or the best corner or whatever it may be, but as a defense, as a unit, you know, you want to play fast and you want to play instinctual. Right. You don't want to see guys out there, you know, thinking. You want to see guys out there just playing. Last year, towards the end of the season, they got to that level. I think that they got to it closer, you know, more in the 2014 Super Bowl run, probably, where guys were really on the same wavelength and really disrupting things. You just, when you play fast and you play instinctual, you tend to do better things than when you react and try to overthink every little move that you make out there. A guy like Lange, you know, obviously, given that he's been in the NFL for 3 weeks or whatever it's been, you know, is thinking still a little bit too much out there. You know, other guys like an Alonin Roberts is just lost as well in some, you know, aspects. So, you know, right now I agree that they need to not necessarily keep signing guys from the outside, but maybe, you know, find 11 to 15 guys that can really, you know, play as a unit and play fast and then go from there in terms of, you know, piecing together the production with, you know, sacks or a pass rush or whatever it may be. But
it's one of those deals where, you know, we're looking at the preseason, we're saying, you know, okay, you know, well, it's a game, it's a preseason game, yes, but they are, you know, throwing things out there for these guys to see what they can handle mentally a lot. You know, that's why I believe, you know, Lange was out there for so long. You know, all right, Harvey, we're going to do a three, we're going to do a four, we're going to do all these different sort of fronts.
Yeah.
How can you handle? And, you know, once games, real games roll around, can we trust you to do this and sort of learn it? And that is so much of the process right now. And it's teaching. I know it's a preseason game and stuff like that, but it's getting these guys acclimated. It's getting these guys knowing what they're doing. And, you know, they're not just, you know, rolling out the same defense every time, which, you know, could account for here and there breakdowns you know, the level of play dropping a little bit, just because, you know, if you throw a lot of new stuff at new players to a system, there's going to be breakdowns, but you'd rather have them at this point than later.
Yeah, I agree. All right, wrapping up here, what do you got going on? I know you're going down to Foxborough soon and do that whole thing.
Well, there'll be a lot of access this week. We're not going to be watching practices anymore. So,
got the boot, huh? From Belichick.
At this point in the year, we're done with that. So it'll be locker room access. We're going to, we're going to be doing our special section stuff, for the end of the month. I'm not, quite sure what, my Sunday feature will be about this week. Didn't get a chance to do it this past week because obviously I wasn't down in West Virginia with everybody else. I think, you know, same stuff. We'll be hitting on this edge stuff a lot. Everybody at the Herald, it's you know, like we said, the sort of the biggest storylining of camp for the defensive side of the ball. Coming up this week, you, me, and Mass Live's Kevin Duffy, the man, the myth, the legend,
the Duff.
And so we'll do one of those too. We'll just be having lots of access and more Patriots coverage as the people we'll want to see. It'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Kevin Duffy. We should have him on Thursday I believe, are taping, so we'll have that up Thursday afternoon. The Duff, the star of the Patriots media football team, I believe, is Kevin Duff.
Yeah, well, last year he was a very active linebacker, and then he with knee injuries made him the coach, and we got annihilated. So, but he was sort of embarrassed about. How badly, we were all kind of embarrassed. He felt like he could have done more, but really we were just outgunned athletically.
I would say that I could have helped out, but I don't know if the short Jewish kid was really going to help you guys out too much. But I like to emulate my game after Welker, so, you know, you guys can keep that in mind for the future. But right now I'm going to get a Rex Burkhead breakdown out soon. Obviously had a bit of a breakout game against Houston. But kind of also look back at his 2016 a little bit for a little bit more substance there to his game. Guy only has 34 career receptions, and we're talking he could have 60 this year. So it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, the talent is obvious in terms of a fit. But the Patriots, he's not Le'Veon Bell, but he's an obvious fit and whatnot. So have that out soon. Hopefully be back in the Herald soon as well. But wait up for that Kevin Duffy pod that will come on Thursday. But thanks for listening to the Naked Bootleg Podcast. We'll be back later in the week.